Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Good afternoon, everybody. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, and we are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios on this Thursday, May the 3rd, and we got a big show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I will be joined by Brandon Howard of Sports Talk Florida to get his thoughts and opinions on last week's Miami Dolphins draft and who they selected in the 2018 NFL draft. So we will talk to Brandon Howard and get all of his thoughts and opinions on that. But before we get to that, we got a bit of breaking news for you. Shortly before I sat down to record this, it was announced the Miami Dolphins have traded a 2019 seventh round draft pick to the Detroit Lions for defensive tackle Hakeem Spence. So the Miami Dolphins, who were still looking for that fourth defensive tackle to put into the rotation, found their man, because they didn't take anyone last week in the draft, obviously, at that spot. So here, they made a trade, and they gave up a seventh-round pick in next year's draft, and they landed a defensive tackle. And for those of you who don't know a lot about Hakeem Spence, well, let's get to learn about him. Hakeem Spence was drafted in the fourth round by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the year 2013. He was a free agent last year, and he signed with the Lions a three-year, $9 million deal, and he had his most productive year in the NFL last year. So 2017 was his most productive year, and do not forget who was the defensive line coach for the Lions last year. It was Chris Kocurek, who is now the defensive line coach for your Miami Dolphins. So that played a big factor here. Something that was interesting is earlier today, May 3rd, Spence actually restructured his deal with the Lions. And the contract, what did he restructure? Let me get the details here. He restructured his deal, accepting, he was scheduled to make $3.15 million in 2018, and he restructured it to make $2.575 million with some incentives in there. So if he should meet it, he would still make $3.15 million. But he took a slight pay cut, and it was probably all part of this deal. He probably was told, look, if you take this pay cut, we can send you to Miami, and you'll be reunited with your old defensive line coach from last year. And it sounded like Spence was all in on that, because he had nothing but glowing things to say about Chris Kocurek today after the trade. Quote here, he says, happy to be back with Coach Chris, doing what I know how to do best. And he said he couldn't ask for a better situation. So it sounds like Hakeem Spence took a little bit of a pay cut to make this trade happen. And as I said on the show yesterday, Miami had just under $3 million in salary cap space. This trade pretty much eats almost all of that up. But as we said, don't worry about that, because as of June 1st, Miami will get an influx of $17 million in salary cap space. This is a good trade, people. This is a very good trade. Hakeem Spence is a solid player. As a rookie in Tampa Bay, he started 14 games. Last year for the Lions, he started 11 games. In his NFL career, he has started 41 of the 72 games he has played in between Tampa Bay and the Lions. So he started a little more than half of the games he has played in. You would think heading into next year, as of today on paper, and of course this could all change in training camp, but as of today on paper, you would think heading into next year that Hakeem Spence would start side by side with Jordan Phillips, and coming off the bench you would have Devon Gotcha and Vincent Taylor. Again, it really doesn't matter who starts as much. It's more about the snap count and who's on the field so much, but I think on paper you would probably have Spence starting next to Jordan Phillips on paper. Last year, Pro Football Focus rated him the 65th best defensive tackle. He had 3 sacks and 39 tackles, one of his best years to date. So Akeem Spence is now a member of the Miami Dolphins. Some other things about him, though, just sort of things worth mentioning, I guess. In 2014, he was arrested in Alabama on marijuana possession and was suspended by the league for one game. So he has that one sort of strike under his belt. Should something else happen again, it probably would be a longer suspension. And last year, in one of the games last year, I'm not sure actually how many games. It might have been more than one. Spence was one of the guys who protested when they played the national anthem. So he is one of the guys who maybe will take a knee during the national anthem. Not a big deal in my book. Not a big deal in the eyes of many, but I know some people feel very strongly about that. So he is one of the guys who might be taking a knee during the national anthem this upcoming year. Just throwing it out there. I don't really care about that stuff. But in his NFL career between 2013 and 2017, he has 8.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 3 fumble recoveries, and 137 tackles total. Like I said, last year was his best year in the league. He is still only 26 years old. He will not be 27 until late November, so he's still a baby. His contract, as I said, he restructured it. He will now make $2.575 million this year, and he will make the same amount of money in 2019. So Miami has him locked up for the 2018 season and the 2019 season, which is very good. So he will not cost them a lot of money. And you're getting a young player who is a solid player, who is on the field a lot, who's not very injury prone in the least bit, for not a lot of money. And he's locked up for the next 2 years. This is a good move, like I said, for the Miami Dolphins. You have the Lions with a new head coach and a new defensive coordinator. They're sort of shaking things up on that side of the ball. And Spence really just didn't fit into what they wanted to do. He wasn't traded because he can't play. He wasn't traded because he makes a ton of money. He was traded just because you have a new staff in place and he didn't fit their system. So it's not like this was sort of a guy they had to get rid of because he's no good. No, this Akeem Spence can play. Now, look, he's not a superstar by any means, but putting him in a rotation with Jordan Phillips, Devon Godchaud, Vincent Taylor, that's very good. Excuse me. So I can't knock the move. And like I said on the show earlier this week, I thought Miami would make a move here, whether it be signing a free agent. A trade is pretty much the same thing. Like, it's a late round pick. That means pretty much nothing. It is a conditional 7th round pick. I don't know what the what is sort of tied to that, but it probably at most would probably jump to a 6th if certain things are met. But I'm not even sure if it can jump that high. The condition just might be if he doesn't make the roster, we get back our pick, Miami. It might be one of them deals. Who knows? But either way, such a late round pick. It's not a big deal. But now he joins a defensive line that now has Robert Quinn, Andre Branch, Cameron Wake, Charles Harris, William Hayes, Devon Godchaud, Jordan Phillips. Miami's defensive line in 2018 is once again will be very good. Now, in years past, it's on paper, we've thought it's been great because of someone like Sue, and we've had in the past Olivier Vernon and stuff. It might not be at that level, but with the guys they brought in like Quinn, and you have a healthy Andre Branch, and you have year two for Charles Harris, and year two for Devon Godchaud, and now you bring in and Akeem Spence, who is coming off his best year as a pro and is still only 26 years old, the Miami Dolphins defensive line will be good in 2018. There's no doubt about that. They have depth across the board at defensive end and defensive tackle. So that unit should be good and ready to go. Linebacker unit, again, is still a bit of a work in progress, but I like the pieces that are there. And one thing I want to talk about here, as we sort of now see, as Miami's starting to make those final moves here, now with this trade. Maybe there's one more move left in them where they go make another move to add someone else. But at most, this is pretty much the roster that we're going to be seeing. I know, look, right after the draft, everyone's excited. It's still that honeymoon phase where they selected eight guys last week in the draft, and everyone thinks every guy's going to be a star, and they're all going to play great, and they're going to fill this need, and they're going to fill that need. I'm reading things online from some people in the media and some from fans. You know, they're going to win next year 9 games or 10 games. They're going to get a wild card spot. Hold on. Pumped up. Everyone's got to relax. I know it's the honeymoon phase, and I know sometimes fans get way ahead of themselves, and they get way too excited, but, you know, to say Miami's going to jump and be a 10-win team next year or more, or say Miami's going to be a wild card team next year, you know, it's possible. It's possible. But to say that on May 3rd or so, you know, you're really putting the cart in front of the horse. This was a 6-win team last year. I know Ryan Tannehill was hurt. He didn't play. I get it. But it's not like Ryan Tannehill is Aaron Rodgers. He's not, okay? It's not like Ryan Tannehill's Roethlisberger. He's not, okay? He's a good quarterback. I like Ryan Tannehill. He will improve the team, clearly. But to make that leap that they're now all of a sudden going to win 10 games, I mean, this team last year had problems all over the field, not just at quarterback. They had problems on the offensive line for about half the year. They had problems at tight end for the entire year. And now you're throwing in two rookie tight ends. We think will be good. We hope will be good. But in all honesty, we have no idea if they will be any good. They could be a total, at the end of the day, one or each of those guys could be a total bust. I don't think they will be, but they could be. We do not know that. And they still have question marks on defense. Linebacker, Raekwon McMillan. We think he'll be good. We hope he'll be good. We have no idea. Jerome Baker. You know, he's a nice, he looks like he's got, you know, he's a nice player. It looks like he's got some speed and he's got some skills that will fill a need. But until he's on the field against NFL quality guys, we don't know. So everyone has to relax. And look, it's fun to get excited this time of year, right after the draft. Miami's going to win 10 games. We're going to win 11 games. We're going to go to the playoffs. Relax. Relax. Don't make yourself sound foolish because we just don't know. I think Miami next year with their schedule, if everyone stays healthy, which we know won't happen, but just assuming everyone stays healthy, you know, you're looking at an 8-8 team. And there's always 3 or 4 games over the course of a year where if things fall your way, you know, maybe you do win 9, 10, or 11 games. But there's also a few games over, if things don't fall your way, then, you know, you could be right back at 6 and 10, 7 and 9. So we'll see how it plays out. We'll see how it goes in training camp. Hopefully this year isn't like last year where we lose a bunch of guys in August, because that's the worst. You can't lose guys in August. You want them ready for the season, but we'll see how it goes. But this move today to acquire Hakeem Spence from the Detroit Lions is a good move. I like what they did here in Miami. He's not making a lot of money, and he's a younger player who is on the upswing of his time in the NFL. So hopefully he will continue to thrive under Coach Chris Kocurek. And he will continue to play well now as a member of the Miami Dolphins. So, let's get to my chat with Brandon Howard from Sports Talk Florida. He was at the Combine this year. He actually interacted some with Chris Greer, the general manager of the Miami Dolphins. So, he has some great insight there. And we will get his thoughts and his opinions on the 2018 Miami Dolphins draft pick. So sit back and enjoy my chat with Brandon Howard from Sports Talk Florida. Joining me on the podcast is Brandon Howard from Sports Talk Florida. He covers the Miami Dolphins for Sports Talk Florida. Brandon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. We love having you on. So let's talk about the Miami Dolphins draft and some of the picks they made last weekend and get your thoughts on them and how they fit in with the Miami Dolphins. Before we get to some of the guys, let's just take a big picture look at some things. First off, were you a little surprised that they didn't make a move in round one to slide up and get Josh Rosen? And are you surprised that they didn't take a quarterback at all in last week's draft?
You know what? I'm not necessarily surprised at it, given that their stance is Ryan Tannehill is our guy no matter what. So I really wasn't surprised at it. Is that something that I would have done? Would I have made sure I came away with out of this draft with a quarterback? Absolutely. And with Josh Rosen falling that far, I think maybe they should have, you know, traded up, given a little bit of something to make sure they could move up one spot to secure that pick. But, you know, I understand that maybe he's the type of guy that doesn't necessarily jive with the team culture that they're trying to build. So I understand why they wouldn't do it, because some of the things about his personality, those things are palpable. You know, all those things are out there. So, you know, I understand why they didn't do it. So I'm not necessarily surprised, given their stance on Ryan Tannehill and that they're banking on him being healthy and being their guy going forward.
Yep, absolutely. And the next thing I want to ask, and we'll talk about Minkah Fitzpatrick in a bit,
sure.
But are you surprised that they went with a safety in round one? Because I know I had on Jason Alesia from the Palm Beach Post, as well as some other reporters and such, and they thought taking a safety in round one was a bit of a luxury pick, and maybe they should look to fill a need somewhere else. When they took a safety in round one, was that a bit of a surprise, or is it just he's such a great player and they want to add great players type of deal?
No, I'm actually not surprised by it at all. I actually had a chance to speak to Chris Greer at the combine, and he told me right then and there that they were not happy with the safety play because of the fact that Rashad Jones and TJ McDonald are so similar in terms of the attributes that they bring to the table. So that struck a chord right there in my mind that, okay, they're looking for a more rangy guy who's a little bit more multiple, who can maybe come in down in the slot, cover, match patterns in that area, and then also be that center fielding free safety. They didn't have a guy with the type of range that Minkah Fitzpatrick has. And with Minkah Fitzpatrick's character, his desire to be great, he doesn't want to be good. He wants to be a great player in the NFL. And he was a guy that, I mean, how many freshmen come in and start immediately for Nick Saban, and let alone not just start, but start at one of his most important positions in the defensive backfield? So I think that when a guy like that begins to slide and he falls to you because the quarterbacks went first, you know, and that pushed some quality players down the board a little bit. So when that guy falls to you, I think you absolutely have to take him. I think they made the right move. I don't think it gets any better than that. To me, this kind of is on the scale of a guy like Laramie Tunsil falling to him. To the Dolphins, without the controversy, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think that Minkah was probably one of the best five or six players in the draft. Now, I know when you count the quarterback stuff like that, sometimes it gets shuffled because they go way higher than they should at times. But we just talk about guys who can make an impact on the field. I think he's one of the top five or six in this draft, and to be able to get him at pick number 11 was great. And you pretty much said everything that needed to be said on him, Fitzpatrick. Let's go to their pick in round two, which is probably the pick I might be the most excited about, because I think this is something Miami has not had in a long time, and that is a legitimate threat at tight end who can catch the ball and make plays down the field. Mike Gesicki out of Penn State, what are your thoughts on him and how he fits in with the Miami Dolphins?
I love the Gesicki pick. I think the last time I was on with you, I penciled him in, or yeah, I talked about him extensively as a guy that I was really interested in. Does he need some help as a blocker? Absolutely. But I think that, you know, Adam Gase recognizes that. And I think that if the good far outweighs the bad, you know, you make that pick. And Adam Gase has had a lot of success with pass receiving tight ends. He's not a type of guy that's going to, you know, shy away from making that pick and taking a guy that, you know, maybe at this point in his career is a one-trick pony, I guess. I think that what they're going to make sure that he does is, you know, continue to develop as a blocker while he contributes as a pass catcher down the field. I think that he has real qualities at the tight end position, so that, you know, I think that what it comes down to is Gesicki is definitely going to be one of those guys that contributes early on. I think a lot of, or maybe too much, is being made of the fact that he's not necessarily the best blocker right now. People are saying, oh, well, that's one half of his job, and he's terrible at it. Don't look for Adam Gase to make him contribute as a blocker, especially early on in his career.
Yep, and I actually had on former Miami Dolphins tight end Rennie McMichael yesterday on the podcast, and he was raving about this kid. He loves him. He thinks he's going to break all of his records that he still holds in Miami, and he loves Mike Gesicki. And he said the same thing. Nobody cares these days if a tight end can really block. If you want one who can block, which we'll talk about soon, you sort of find a guy who just does that role specifically. But, you know, when you're taking and when you're talking about tight ends, you want guys who can make plays down the field. So I know everyone sort of feels this way, including Rennie McMichael, who has done a few things in the NFL, to say the least.
So
in round three, they went linebacker. And obviously, we know heading into this draft, linebacker was a huge need. We, when I had you on the show last time, this was something we also spoke about. Jerome Baker out of Ohio State. What are your thoughts on him and how he fits into Miami?
This might be my favorite pick.
Really? Wow.
Dolphins draft. Absolutely. I think that a lot of people, you know, he didn't get a lot of exposure during the whole draft process, but I've been watching him for the better part of 2 years. And this is a guy that makes your defense multiple. And then you combine that with a guy like Minkah Fitzpatrick. You have the type of defense where it's difficult to generate mismatches on. So, you know, with Baker, he's the type of guy that he can cover, running backs. He can cover tight ends down the field. He can cover in man coverage. Obviously, he has the awareness in zone coverage as well. If you go ahead and look in, on YouTube, and the interception he makes in one of the Ohio State spring games is absolutely, it's mind-blowing. It's phenomenal. It's a one-handed interception across the middle of the field where he kind of drops back into zone there. And he's extremely fast. He is, and I wrote a column, our article about the new age linebackers that are necessary for teams to have in the NFL. And he fits that mold. And I specifically said new age linebackers, and that is the exact term that Chris Greer said when introducing him as the pick. He said he's our new age linebacker. He's the type of guy that you need on the weak side. And when you compare value and what he brings to the table as a linebacker, a lot of people were excited about Roquan Smith. When you can get a guy like this in round three, I'm not hurt at all that Roquan Smith did not drop to the Miami Dolphins at pick number 11 when you can make that up with Jerome Baker.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think he gives Miami something they really need at that spot, and that's speed. They haven't, because last year, time of field with guys like Chase Allen and Mike Hall, you know, I'm sure they're great people, but they were just so slow, and they got picked apart. Right. Teams just picked them apart in the passing game, and I think when you throw in now Raekwon McMillan, obviously he'll be back, and Jerome Baker, that will change hopefully, and we see some more speed on the field for Miami at linebacker. Yeah. So that should help there. In round four, they took their second tight end in Smythe out of Notre Dame. Now, he's the exact opposite in every which way of Mike Gesicki, as he is primarily a blocker. How'd you like this fit and to sort of offset the weaknesses of Gesicki here with Durham Smythe?
I think that when you look at Gase's time in Denver, he had two tight ends, and Julius Thomas, and I, for some reason, the other tight end's name escapes me right now. But, he had two tight ends that complemented one another. One was more of that downfield threat, vertical threat like Gesicki, which was Julius Thomas's role at that time. And then the other tight end who was more of a blocker, Virgil Green, I believe his name was. So, you had two tight ends that really complemented one another. And I think that now Gase gets back to that, and now he's got two guys on the field that, and I think that Smythe is an underrated receiver. A lot gets made of his blocking, but, he can move the sticks, middle of the field, and get a little bit of separation. So I think he's underrated in that area. So I think that, he's got two tight ends that complement one another extremely well. And all that's missing right now is the experience. And then if he utilizes these guys appropriately, I think that you'll see them both have a lot of success.
Yeah, I think they're each going to be on the field right away because they do not have a lot at that spot on the roster, really. Marquise Gray, he's okay. I like him. But after that, I'm not sold on anybody else that they have on the roster. So I think those guys are going to be on the field really, really early, and they're going to be on the field a lot. So I think experience is going to come quick for those two. The last pick I really want to talk to you about is a running back out of Arizona State, Kalen Ballage. I don't know what to think of him. I haven't seen him play a lot, obviously, but I think there's something there, obviously, with him. He's got some speed. He's got some nice size, but at Arizona State, there were some reports he didn't work hard all the time and stuff like that. What are your thoughts on him?
Okay, so my thought process on him is a little different than most, and then I actually saw where on one of the Dolphins, profiles of Kalen Ballage, him listed as an H-back or tight end. And okay. I wrote an article during Senior Bowl that his skill set is more reminiscent of a tight end that the Dolphins used to have, which is Charles Clay. People forget Charles Clay was a running back, in college.
Yep.
And he had almost or nearly 1,000 career yards as a running back in college. So, or rushing yards. So I think that his skill set, his route running ability is so advanced that I think that it would be doing him a disservice right now at this point in his career to keep him as maybe a third running back. I think you get that guy on the field and let him generate mismatches and be more of an H-back and let him be on the field with a Kenyon Drake, on the field with the tight ends, because you don't know which guy is going to run the ball and you don't know who's going to split out wide, who's going to be an inline tight end. You just have no idea. He's a guy that created a lot of separation as a route runner. And he wants to be more so of a Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson type. But I'm telling you right now, when I watched him play in person, immediately the first thing I thought in my mind is a more athletic Charles Clay. And I don't know if they're going to utilize him that way. I just thought on the profile that's what he was listed as. So we'll see what they end up making out of him, because his running instincts at the moment are a little bit underdeveloped because he played a myriad of positions coming up. He played quarterback. He played receiver. So he doesn't necessarily have the running back instincts right now. He can continue to get carries as a running back and, continue to develop as a running back. But I think that if you just sit him on the bench instead of utilizing him as a receiver, that's going to be one of those things that, is more of a disservice to him at this point.
Yep, absolutely. And I think the thing with him is where he can get on the field right away is on third down, sort of line him up in the slot. You sort of flank him out and maybe keep Drake in the backfield. Then sort of got matchup nightmares, because then you're going to have linebackers on these guys at the same time. And I think in the passing game, him sort of flanked out wide, I think could cause some matchups for teams that might be fits for them. Because I think all these guys here, when you talk about Gesicki, when you talk about the kid here from Arizona State and stuff,
yeah,
in the passing game, it's going to be tough to have linebackers on these guys. So I think that's where Miami sort of hit pay dirt here with this draft, as matchup nightmares for some opponents.
Definitely. And on the defensive side of the ball, they've developed those matchup stoppers, and they have those matchup stoppers now in Jerome Baker and Minkah Fitzpatrick. So I will say this, when it comes to this draft class, I think they hit the nail on the head with a lot of those picks. And in time, I think this is a perennial playoff team in terms of talent.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I was just going to talk about that next year as we wrap this up, was now you look at the roster as a whole, as we have a better view of it now. Obviously, Sue's gone, Landry's gone, Mike Pouncey is gone. Big name guys who made a lot of money, obviously, but now they sort of have a more well-rounded roster, I think, from top to bottom. Maybe not the splashy names that everybody has heard of, but when you look at the roster, it's more well-rounded. And what are your thoughts on that? And I guess so what are your thoughts on that and how the roster is now shaped up?
I really like this team. I like this team a great deal. I think that you filled a lot of holes. Look at the linebacker position. Kiko, I warned folks before, when Kiko Alonso switched to weak side linebacker, that was going to be something where the fans were going to be begging for a speedier type guy in the future. Year later, fast forward a year later, the fans were clamoring for that guy. And they filled that hole with Jerome Baker. He's going to be an outstanding player, I believe. So I think what you're going to see is, Jerome Baker, weak side linebacker. You're going to see Raekwon McMillan, middle linebacker. And I think you're going to see Kiko Alonso on the strong side. I think that, this team is, you know, primed to continue to compete for playoff position moving forward, for the simple fact that this is a team on offense that can generate mismatches. And then on the defensive side of the ball, this is a team that can stop teams from getting those mismatches. And they don't necessarily have to substitute players to do it. No matter who's on the field, they can do a lot of different things and do them very well. So this versatility, this position flexibility that they have, that definitely bodes well for this team's future. But unfortunately, all this is contingent upon whether or not Ryan Tannehill can deliver.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. The whole season comes down to Ryan, because if his knee holds up and he plays like he was playing before he got hurt in 2016, I do think Miami could be in store here for a pretty good year, you know, maybe contend for like a wild card spot and such. I don't think that's out of the question. But if he goes down, it's going to be the same song and dance as it was last year, because they have nobody behind him. They have absolutely nobody behind him. And I'm a little surprised, not even just with the draft, that they didn't make more of a play to get a more proven number two quarterback. I know finances is part of this, as well as they didn't have a ton of money to spend this offseason, but I am a little surprised they didn't make more of a play to get a more proven backup quarterback. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree 100%. I know a lot of fans will disagree with me, but I think that if you trade back up into the end of round one and take a guy like Lamar Jackson, I think you do that. Because if you develop an offense around his skill set with all the RPOs and things of that nature that are coming into play now in the NFL, he's going to be virtually unstoppable. And I'm going to say that right now. And a lot of people have concerns about his game, and there are a few to be had. But overall, I think the kid's future is extremely bright. And I don't see why the Dolphins couldn't, you know, make a play for a guy like that late round one. I don't think it would have cost them much. And I think that you get the fifth-year option on a guy like that, continue to develop him, and then if something happens to Ryan Tannehill, well, guess what? You have the exciting Lamar Jackson coming in to play for your team. So I think that, to me, either Josh Rosen, where they could have had him at 11, or you trade back up into the end of round one to take a guy like that. Because now, when are you going to get your franchise quarterback, you know, if Ryan Tannehill does not pan out? So yeah. You kind of have yourself in a little bit of a predicament there.
Yeah, because if he stays healthy, I think it's going to be fine. But this really is a house of cards, where if he goes down, I don't care what the rest of the roster looks like, it's going to be a long year with guys like Brock Osweiler and David Fail. So we'll see how it plays out. And hopefully, for the sake of the Miami Dolphins, that Ryan, that his knee is fine and there's no more issues with it. But time will tell for sure. So, Brandon, thanks once again for joining me here on the podcast. And I want to tell everyone to be sure to follow Brandon Howard on Twitter at bhoward_81, as well as check him out at sportstalkflorida.com. Brandon, thanks so much again, and I'm sure we will have you on down the road.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You have a good one. Once again, I would like to thank Brandon Howard from Sports Talk Florida for joining me here on the podcast. He's always a great guest, and we will have him on again down the road for sure. Everyone, be sure to check out the website, dolphinstalk.com. We have a ton of new content being put up on the site constantly. Brett Legassi, he's been doing some amazing work of late, and he has a whole bunch of new articles up on the website with some clips and some film review that you will want to read. So be sure to go to the website, dolphinstalk.com, as well as follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk. Once again, that's at Dolphins Talk. Also, be sure to follow the websites that re-air this podcast. They are FinFanatic.com, FinFever.com, TheGruelingTruth.net, and Dolphin-UK.com, as well as the Facebook pages, Fanatics, Doll Fanatics, and The End Zone. So check them out as well. We'll probably have a new podcast this weekend. Unless more news breaks, then we'll have one up on Friday for sure. But if there's no news that breaks, then we'll probably do a weekend show, and I'll have another show out either Saturday or Sunday. Not sure yet. And like I said on the podcast this week, this time of year, May, June, news does start to slow down. But we're still going to do shows I mean, maybe not every day, but probably 3 to 4 days a week, and we will still bring you the top-notch guests that you are accustomed to right here with the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. I have a few guests lined up for the coming weeks, but so be on the lookout for that, because this time of year, the news is kind of slow, and there's really not a whole heck of a lot to talk about until we get into, you know, July-ish range and training camp and such. But we will still be here probably 3 to 4 days a week throughout May and June with shows, and we do have some big guests lined up for those months as well, all people you will want to hear from. So everyone, have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.